You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mootsy, alongside me, three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong, and our weekly guest on a Monday, the man with all the front office knowledge in the world, Mr. Scott Perry. How you fellas doing?
I'm alive, bro. I'm on the right side of the turf, so I'm doing good, man.
We usually start with some NFL talk, but I know Scott ain't trying to hear that today, so we're going to keep it moving.
I'm done talking to NFL for a while, so.
We're going to move right past that. I got a couple messages in our Discord community, and the first one was from AG, who's our resident Brooklyn Nets fan, and he said, tell Isaiah Collier that I love him for scoring the game winner and winning the Jazz, the tank off against the Nets. And Andy Williams, our resident Jazz fan, replied saying, tell him he played a great game, but I would have preferred the loss. So it's hilarious that the Nets fans and the Jazz fans both wanted to lose the game last night. If any of you didn't see it, it was a very interesting game because Isaiah Collier waved off Colin Sexton with less than 20 seconds left in the game, only to get an 8-second violation. They had a little heated exchange on the bench. But then Isaiah came back into the game and split the two defenders, got to the rack, and made the layup that won the game for the Jazz. BJ, what were your thoughts watching this? Because just the other day, we were on the show talking about not every point guard needing to be a prolific three-point shooter, and there Isaiah is winning the game with a layup going to the hoop.
Well, I'm just going to take this perspective, you know, in that conversation that we had, I think just a week ago, about what is required
on Friday,
to play that position. You know, when we draft these young players, you know, Scott has, you know, he understands this better than most, is we say we're going to draft them and then we're going to develop. Okay. All right. Now, I'm just going to stop there. So we draft these young people with the idea we have all of these developmental coaches. We have a league, right? The G League. We have literally, I don't know, 20 or more coaches now, Scotty?
It looks like it, yeah.
But You got eight to 10
over there. In some capacity, for sure.
In some capacity. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here we are going through the process. And then we start complaining about players who aren't, you know, they're not complete players yet. So, you know, Isaiah Collier is a young player. And Scott, you know, I'm going to throw this to Scott. But this is part of the process. And suddenly, you know, he has a game last night. He has, I think, 23-7-7, I believe, last night in a game. Mm-hmm. Plays 37 minutes in an NBA game on a back-to-back, I might add. Mm-hmm. And you're just seeing the process. Now, I always say it takes about 25 games to figure out what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, around 35 or 40 games is kind of where you began to pick and choose what you can do, provided you have talent. Mm-hmm. When I say talent, your initial talent would be the physicality of the game, right? Are you fast enough? Are you strong enough? You'll figure out what you can do. And then you begin to just get the experience, which you're clearly lacking. That's why, you know, you're a young player. So it was a good first step. You know, he's had some ups and downs in the league. Like all players do. Not some, all players do. And then you begin to have the consistency to say, this is who you are. And then that's what we call a professional, right? If you are a 10-5-5 guy, well, do that every night. If you are a 25-5-5 guy, do that every night. So, but it was a good game. I mean, I was, you know, Utah clearly is developing players. They are developing players. They're clearly in a space where you can go there and be a starter as a rookie. So great first game. I was really happy for him. And he's very fortunate to be in a situation where he's playing in his first year, which is invaluable. I mean, the most, you know, that's for him to have this opportunity is remarkable, and he's taking advantage of it.
You know, it's awesome. And when you draft young players like an Isaiah Collier, you want to see a steady trajectory up. And you have to aid in that as an organization. Because as BJ knows and understands, there's going to definitely be ups and downs to any young player's rookie season. I don't, like I said, I don't care who you are. And in Isaiah's case, he definitely has experienced some lows, and he's had to play in the G League, but he's responded well when he's played in the G League. So when you have a game like he had last night and hits a game winner, what you know and what you're not, what you're going to see is a more confident player, a guy that's saying that kind of, oh, I belong here moment. That was that for him last night. Now the key will be for him. He doesn't have to come back and have 23 points the next game, but just come back and play well. You know, come back and play well. He didn't have to hit the game winner the next game, but come back and play well. Start stacking good, solid performances and play to your strengths. See, that's one thing you know, young players, you hear all the noise right now. You know, when they're coming in the door, oh, you gotta shoot threes, you gotta shoot so many corner threes and elbow threes and all this stuff. No. You play to your strength this year one, and you're down to, in the practice time and at night, you work on your weaknesses, and you might not start bringing some of the things out that you don't do well this year until next season. Play to your strengths to right now, to the rest of the year, and then you continually add moving forward. You know, we live in this microwave society that everybody wants everything done right away. I like what he's doing, and I like when a player, and a young player like this in particular, has to go through some adversity early in his career to see how he responds. Because this NBA season, as we all know, is a marathon, it's not a sprint. And you have to be able to stay level, as I would say, and bounce back from poor performances and continue to, if it's a great performance, continue stacking them. So,
Yeah,
congrats, Isaiah.
he just turned 20 a couple months ago. This was his sixth start in the NBA, his 29th game overall, definitely an upward trajectory. But you know, in the NBA, the superstars kind of get all the attention, all the headlines, right? But Ryan77 wants to know, who is the most exciting player for you to watch that goes under the radar? So not a huge household name player, but who do you like watching and you just enjoy watching their game?
An under the radar player?
How can you be under
Radar in today's
I mean, outside of the
game?
obvious, I like watching Steph Curry. I like watching Anthony Edwards.
Oh,
Who are some of the lesser known names to a casual fan that you think are exciting to watch?
exciting to watch. BJ, anybody come to mind for you right away?
Well, he's really, I think he may be an all-star this year. I really love the kid, Jalen Williams from
Oh,
OKC.
okay.
Right? I mean, he may be an all-star this year, but I've
But he's.
always enjoyed watching his, you know, like I was like, I remember like a year or two ago, I was like, oh wow, like let me just watch him. You know, I just wanted to, you know, as they said, I wasn't familiar with his skill set. You know, he just kind of caught my eye, you know. So he's one of the, like, I watched him the other night and he's guarding the five. Like, he's playing the backup five right now.
Like
And then
in an ideal world, he'd be your two. But OKC have him at the four.
and
Then, you know,
then
when Hartenstein's out of the game, he'll play the five.
five.
Right.
So he is one of my players that I'm saying, when you say a jack of all trades, he's like a jack of all trades. He plays a point guard position, he guards all the positions, and he competes. Like, I think that's probably why I didn't know him as well. I had no idea that he was that level of a competitor. I mean, he competes, especially on the defensive end. I saw him guard Julius Randle the other night or one night, and I was like, oh wow, he doesn't mind the level of physicality. He just always does something that I'm constantly like, oh, I got to give him more credit. So he's one of my favorite players now to watch.
Along those lines, I just thought of a player because I'm trying to think of guys that I didn't work with, so I want to be,
Impartial.
impartial. I'm impartial. But this player, Jalen Suggs, I
Yes.
love the
Everyone's a
trajectory of
Jalen
him.
nowadays. Everyone's
Exactly.
a
Everybody's
Jalen
a
in the NBA
Jalen.
nowadays.
But he, I love to see when a player comes in the door. Again, we talked about Isaiah Cayo with the ups and downs, the struggles. But you're talking about a competitor. And this kid has gotten better, has improved his game each and every year. His shooting has continued to trend upwards. Outstanding defender. He should be a candidate to be on the all defensive team for sure. I think he's one of the top two or three defensive point guards in the league right now. He contributes to winning. You know, this team continues to win, and they were without their two top players, but he's not going to cheat you on the effort. And you've heard me say this often. I love watching two-way players, guys that are going to just leave it all out there. And if you if the casual fan is paid a lot of money for a ticket, they don't want to be cheated by effort. If they go see this young man play, they're going to see a guy that leaves it all out on the floor, whether it's on a Tuesday night in November or a Thursday night in March. It doesn't matter. That guy's in uniform and playing, he's going to give you a terrific effort, and he continues to get better. So Jalen Suggs would be my guy.
My
Good call.
pick for this is a player who I think is going to be back on everyone's radar pretty soon, because he was on everyone's radar when he came into the league as a high pick in the draft. But you know, he was on a awful, awful team, so he kind of got forgotten about and he had a few injuries. But Cade Cunningham, over the past month
Hey,
plus, has been
okay.
playing electric basketball. He had 22, 17, and 10 the other night to go along with two blocks and a steal against the Raptors. In the month of January, he's averaging 25, 9, and 7 with a steal and a half a game. He has been playing amazing basketball for this Pistons team, who, what are they now over their last 10? What, 8-2 over the last 10 games? He's
Yes.
been playing fantastic basketball. And obviously, you guys know me, because I know, Scott, you was going to expect me to say Alperen Şengün is my favorite player to watch under the radar. But you know, I love players that play with their back to the basket. I love the post-up game. And Cade is one of the few point guards who has size at that position, who utilizes that and backs down the smaller guards and gets to his post game. He's got some nice fades. He goes to work on that block. And I love watching Cade play. And I think he 100% should be an all-star this season. I want to see him on that all-star team.
So Cade is channeling his inner Mo Muncie, is what you're talking about. When he
Some
went
would
playing with
say,
his back to the
some would say, some would say, some would
basket.
say. I'm too old school, man. What
You're
can
too
I
old
say?
school.
What can
No,
I say?
look, no, hey, look, Terrell, look, Cade is playing terrific. One thing that stands out about Cade to me, going back to when I saw him in high school, his year in college at Oklahoma State. And throughout all of the turbulent times here in Detroit, you know, they've done a lot of losing, and now it looks like they've turned the corner, started to win, you know, obviously win some games, and they're above 500 for the first time in a long time. His confidence, he does not lack for confidence, and it comes through in how he plays and performs. And you know, kudos to him, and hopefully he continues to have a successful season.
It's funny. I mean, we're funny. Actually, you know, I was laughing as well when we say the term old school. Scott and I are old enough to have played in the era where you actually could hand check. And when you were a guard in that era and you were hand checking, you had to learn how to play protecting the ball because someone could actually check you with, you know, they would put their hand on your hip and you had to learn how to play looking at the court from a side view
Side view, yeah.
because of the hand checking, right? It's not that we wanted to play that way. It was the only way that you could play and protect the ball and deliver the ball to at least half of the court. And then if you wanted to go to the other side, you had to either pull away, then as a defender, you close the gap, and then you would do the same thing on the other side. And as Mo said that, I realized, I was like, wow, how cool would it have been if you played and no one could touch you?
Answer,
Just think about that, Scott. Scott, you and I played in an era where we
No
weren't
question.
allowed to just come
You would have
down and
loved to play offensively, but you would have got so frustrated being a defender in this situation, though, because as a defender, you really can't do anything.
well, if you want to win, you got to figure that out,
Yeah,
right? I mean, you got to figure that out. That you—that's one thing. That's one thing. If you're a winning basketball player, you have to adapt. Okay, you have to adapt. But as you said that, Mo, I was thinking to myself, "Wow, how cool would that have been? You can just sit at the top of the cl floor, and you can actually face players up because you can't impede their progress." And just reminded me, it's not really old school. They changed the rules. I mean, it was a rule change that affected the game. It wasn't like the players suddenly started learning how to dribble. You know, Alvin Robinson is guarding you. You're not going to be dribbling the ball in front of him, talking about, I'm going to cross him over. That's not happening. If you can't, that's not happening. You know, I mean, but, you know,
Can you imagine Isaiah Thomas
that's
of
what I'm
the
saying.
Detroit Pistons playing today with nobody being able to
You
touch
go.
him?
Yeah, you know what?
A
That's another conversation, Scott.
conversation. You're right.
I
If
just
people don't
wanted Mo
realize
to.
how great he was with the ball and strong
Oh,
and all those kind of
man.
things, and doing that in an era where people physically could try to beat him up on the perimeter, and now
Yeah,
he
and
couldn't touch him.
oh man, you know, and
Yeah.
there's a lot of players that you would look
Yeah.
at
Oh, no
differently.
question. He just stands out because he just, to me,
But
because
on
he
the rule
played
change,
basketball.
so you know, no, it was just the why of the rule change. You know what I mean? But for the sake of the narrative, right? We don't want to disrupt the narrative. We'll just say it's old school basketball, right? You
Well,
know,
in according to the old school rules, how about that? How about that here? Let's find a middle ground. Find a middle ground here, huh?
let's clarify to those who have influence over the game. Now, no one was complaining about it, but you know, the rules committee, which we can Scott Perry was on the rules committee. Hey, let's ask him when the rules committee come down, how did he vote? You know, how did he vote?
So, another player who I think not so much under the radar because everyone knows him, but I think maybe the most underappreciated player in the NBA for me is Russell Westbrook. And if you look at what he's done over his last four games, 21, 10 and 7, 25, 11 and 10, 19, 6 and 8, 26, 9 and 6. And don't forget, this is a guy that just a couple of years ago, people were talking about him being out of the league. I remember distinctly, someone went back to one of my old tweets the other day. And then, they sent me the tweet. And it was when I think it was it Dave McMiniman on ESPN? He sat up there on national TV and called Westbrook a vampire who was sucking the blood out of the locker room. It turns out that Russell Westbrook's not a vampire. And maybe there were other factors at play in that Lakers locker room. But the narrative that was pushed out by the media blaming Russell Westbrook for that struggles, because to me, it looks like the Lakers have been the same place as they were when they had him and when they're not having him. But it's nice to see him now in Denver. The synergy between him and Jokic is simply fantastic. The way that Jokic manages to pick him out with his cuts off the ball to make his life a little easier, and the way that he finds Jokic in return is fantastic. But EO says, can slash should Russell Westbrook win the most improved award this season? To answer the question, I don't think he's going to win the most improved player. I mean, you're talking about a one-time
I don't think that's ever happened.
MVP.
An MVP
Exactly.
winning MVP first and then most improved.
And so I don't think that people would even look at him in that vein. Now, if you're talking about comeback or bounce back player of the year, if that is what that's a little something different. But let me just make one quick comment on Russell. BJ used the word when he was talking about the kid Jalen Williams from OKC, and I use it talking about Jalen Suggs from Orlando, competitors. Russell Westbrook was one of the greatest competitors for sure of this generation.
No, still is.
And it still is. And I'm just saying,
in year 17.
You cannot take that away from him. So all this about, you know, vampire and all like that, I never subscribed to that about him just because he competed so hard. He left it all out on the floor night in and night out, and he's done it for, what year is this for Russell now? 13, 14?
17.
No, like 17. 17. 17. Okay, wow. So
yeah, we're getting old, Scott.
And so he continues to provide that effort. And that's, you know, when you're getting up there in age like that for a guard, and BJ knows that, it's unbelievable. Not only the physical stamina, but the mental makeup that this guy has exhibited throughout his career, man. I've always had a ton of respect for him just because of the competitor that he is. And it's great to see him playing well for Denver. And he's been an important pickup for him thus far. We'll see what happens as they move forward and get into the playoffs.
Denver are 13-4 when Russell Westbrook starts for them. Surely this has got some sort of fire under Jamal Murray, seeing the impact that Russell Westbrook's been bringing, because Jamal's impact this season in particular has been extremely underwhelming.
Yeah, Jamal, I know, has been battling a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. So we don't, you know, so I hesitate to, and I know he hasn't performed up to Jamal Murray standards, but I hesitate to weigh in too heavily on him because I really don't know what he's really going through from a physical standpoint, which in turn can impact what's going on up here mentally, where his body is at. And so I think he's struggling right now. When I watch him play, not only is there may be some struggles with his body, but when you're talking about the mental here, his confidence. I'm looking at a player that is not as confident as what I'm used to seeing him play as. And so hopefully he's able to regain that. And I think playing alongside a guy like Russell ultimately is going to help him, because Russell's not going to relent. He's going to keep coming, keep coming. So if he wants to keep up, he's got to figure it out. And I believe he's too good a player not to figure it out.
BJ, what's that dynamic like? You know, when you get a new teammate who's playing really well and almost taking some of your minutes potentially, does that then force you or, you know, someone on your team to step up their game to ensure that they maintain their spot? Or just from the player side of things, what's that dynamic like?
Well, you know, this isn't a, first of all, the Denver Nuggets, they're not in a situation with a player like Jokic where all of a sudden you're figuring out what we're trying to do. Jokic, when whatever team he goes to for the remainder of his career, they will be viewed with a championship level lens. Okay, that let's establish that right away. Now, Jamal Murray, we don't know what's going on. And Scott made a valuable point is, if you're not in that locker room every single day, you really can't comment. But for the sake of what we think is going on, I thought that was fair. We saw Jamal Murray over the summer, last summer, I should say, where something didn't look right with him during the Olympics.
Right.
Did he play? Yes. But something didn't look right, because we saw Jamal Murray just a couple years now, 2 years ago, where he was playing, you know, I've always called him the best player that hasn't been named an all-star yet.
No question.
That's what I've come to expect with Jamal. Then this year, you know, he's had a slow start, and sometimes that happens, whatever the case may be. But what I do love about what Coach Malone has done is he's allowed Jamal to play through this to get to where he needs to be. Thank goodness for Russ, because they've lost some significant players over the last 2-3 years due to salary situations, or they've made a decision to go in a different direction financially as an organization. I don't look at this as a challenge at this stage of your career. When you have a player of Jamal's caliber, and you know that player, what that player is capable of doing, and Coach Malone certainly has been around, you got to figure out how to complement that player. Now, Russell, let's remember now, Russell has been a lead guard. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer as a point guard in this league. Now you're asking him to change positions. I don't know if Jamal Murray will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I know Russell Westbrook will.
No question.
So I'm giving the coaching staff credit of doing what, in my opinion, coaching is all about. Find that. Don't tell me what the guy can't do. Don't tell me what the problem is. Let's figure out how to get these guys, regardless of what position you have, to figure out how to play together. Check and check with this Denver Nuggets team. So the fact that they've all kind of figured it out, I mean, you're watching two players now get triple doubles in the same game. And I think that's really cool because normally a guy who gets a triple double, he has to dominate the ball as he should. You're now saying, well, wait a minute. What kind of offense are they running where Jamal Murray will score 17 to 20 points, Russell will get a triple double, and Jokic will get 30, 12, and 14? Like, I'm watching the game trying to understand what kind of system they're running and they're winning and doing all of that. So I think it's really cool that they've kind of figured out something. When is the last time we've seen two guys get a triple double in the same game? In multiple games, I think they've done it about two or three times this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
And
I think that's really cool, by the way.
Well, I also think Westbrook's defense is hugely underappreciated as well. The impact and the energy that he's given them on the defensive side of the ball is something that this team desperately needed, especially with the loss of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who arguably was their best perimeter defender. So now they've got Aaron Gordon back in the lineup. They've gone 7-3 over their
That's
last 10. They're up to fourth in the Western Conference after somewhat of a shaky start. And they seem to be trending in the right direction here. So.
And don't discount Russell looking around, knowing that, like you said, this is year 17 for him. This might be his last and definitely best shot at trying to get to an NBA final and win a championship. Because he's got the best player, arguably, in the league in Nikola Jokic alongside him. And he got guys who've been there and won a championship. Russell is trying to get back to an NBA final, see if he can win the championship. And so I'm sure that is a huge driving factor for him. And he's doing any and everything he has to do to make that a reality.
So I want to ask Scott this. Scott, this is the first time that I can say, I've been watching Russell his entire career. This is the first time I've seen Russell defer to another player in his career. Well, can you comment about that, Scott?
Well, the interesting thing when I've always studied Russell, the things that made Russell great were the things that never allowed him to defer in the first place. He is such an alpha personality, and he has believed throughout his entire career that nobody works harder, nobody's tougher than he is. So why am I to defer? Now, as he's gone through the league and now we get here to year 17, and he knows that he's got only a very small time left to play, wisdom starts to kick in. And it probably took going to a team like the Denver Nuggets. And you've got a three-time MVP sitting there on your team, been there, done that. And by the way, who's been a champion? Russell's picked up enough wisdom to understand and say, you know what? I got to take a back seat to this guy over here. Let me figure out how I can fit in and enhance this team because it's not about me individually anymore. I believe he also wants to change a little bit of the narrative about him. Oh, you can't win with Russell, or Russell is too selfish, or whatever the case may be. Which I think has been a misguided criticism on him personally. I haven't worked with him, but just from what I see. So I think wisdom has kicked in with him, and he's gone to the right situation with a great player who's in his prime, and he's ready to win. And so that's the evolution that's taken some time of a great player like Russell, again, whose greatest strength sometimes could have been his greatest weakness in terms of him just being stubborn and just going 100 miles an hour at all times without taking a step back and understanding that deferring the game from time to time could be helpful. I think he's fully there now in the right place to do that. So it's going to be fascinating to watch them in the playoffs too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. We have a question here from Bleed Green. He says, what kind of potential issues are the OKC Thunder going to create for themselves with five first round picks and a second round pick in the next draft? It's a great problem to have or a potential headache down the road. Would love to hear Mr. Perry's thoughts on this. Please answer without mentioning KD, Russ, or the beard.
Without mentioning
The team that they had to break up in, you know,
yeah.
2012, 2013.
Look, they will be able to figure out. You'd rather have all of those picks to figure out. You could trade them off, push them down the line to trade for picks years out, because there's always going to be teams wanting to get in to current drafts if you're not able to add anybody. Because, look, OKC, this roster that you see now, it's pretty much going to be their team, with the exception of a tweak here or there at the back end of the rotation, probably. And so maybe 1 year they use it, they utilize a draft pick to start to, put another player into that development chain. Because what's going to happen as years move forward and this team continues to win and play well, there will be players on their roster. And I'm not talking about the top end guys. I'm not talking about Shea. I'm not talking about Jalen Williams, who BJ talked about earlier. I'm not talking about Chet Holmgren. But there may be other guys, whether it be a Cason Wallace or an Isaiah Joe, and those guys who show that they can contribute to winning teams like they're doing right now and play a key role for this team, that when they become free agents, may price themselves out of being able to stay in OKC, and now you're looking to fill the void with those guys. They're not there yet. I mean, Wallace, I believe, is just in his second year. Isaiah Joe may be in his third or fourth year. But that's what you'll start. They'll have those picks to start looking at the trajectory when those guys are going to become free agents. Make sure, okay, let's draft their potential replacement if we're not able to re-sign them. Or, like I said, you can trade those picks. So, like, say, if they're going into the 2025 or 26 draft and they got a few first round picks and there's no one there that they really would want to add, somebody would want to come get that pick. You trade it for a pick down the line, a future pick. That's what it's about. So they're in a very advantageous situation. And last thing, they go through the playoffs this year. Let's, depending upon where they get knocked out or if they win it all, whatever the transpires through the playoffs, you can utilize a lot of those picks, package them, and maybe trade for a player if you happen to fall short and feel like you need some. So a lot of options there for OKC Thunder. No reason for any OKC Thunder fans to panic right now. They're going to be around for a solid 8 to 10 years, I believe. It's currently constructed.
And with those five picks in the first round this year, you can solidify all of those picks to just move up to a higher spot.
You can do that as well.
I think also if the Sixers
Everyone
pick.
has the option to move up, right, Scott? Isn't that how the draft
Yeah,
goes?
yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody always talks about moving up, and then, but see, there's no question about it. And the problem with that, Mo, when people talk about that, you got to have a dance partner up top that's willing to do that, that's willing to move off a good pick. Now, this draft, from what I understand and what I can see early, it's going to be fairly top heavy. There's going to be 4 to 5 players that teams are really high on in that space. So to get into that stratosphere, you're going to have to not only give up picks, but you're going to have to give up an existing all-star player maybe for teams to consider that. Because otherwise, all these teams that we just talked about that you say are tanking, not trying to win games, they're putting all their eggs in that basket. Then, oh, there's Cooper Flagg there. There's Dylan Harper. There's Ace Bailey. All these names out here. So that's what they're supposedly playing for right now.
And I will say this, because I know Scott can't say it, but I'll say it. And you better know who to draft once you move up there.
You
Okay.
say that again. That's what you said.
Now, all of this, we can move and we have these draft picks and we can do all these things. Don't, let's not forget now, Jokic and these guys are going in the second round. Okay. So, again, it sounds good. Feel good. You have all of these draft picks. Draft picks don't play.
And
Yeah.
you also,
Draft picks,
like,
I'm gonna say right now, it's, I mentioned those three names, but for the most part, they're still nameless gray faces. You don't know. You don't know
you
what
don't
they
know who
right.
they
You also
are.
have to, you don't know who they're gonna be once they make it to the
And
NBA.
Scott, you have to develop them once you get them.
No
You
question.
also have to know that you're not being finessed by the team that's moving down in the draft. Because I remember when the Celtics had a number one pick, they moved back to three in exchange for the third pick and a pick from next year from the Philadelphia 76ers, because the Celtics knew that the Lakers, who had two, were going to take Lonzo. And they knew that whoever had a number one pick was going to take Markelle Fultz, so Jason Tatum would be waiting for them at three, and they may as well get another pick the year after with it. Looking back, maybe the Sixers don't make that trade after all. But yeah, the other part of that question was one for each of us. The first part is, BJ, would you rather see a Lions Super Bowl or Detroit Pistons NBA championship?
Come on.
He's seen a Pistons championship before. Come
See,
on.
Mo, you forgot. Real name, no gimmicks here. That's not a question. Go ahead, Mo. You can answer that. You answer that. This is no gimmicks. What you mean? Which one would I rather see?
Hey, Mo, that's not a hard Jeopardy question. Right there.
The other one they sent in, it was for Scott, a Steelers Super Bowl or a Knicks championship, but I think that's too easy of an answer. Let me ask you this, Scott. Let me ask you this. See the Steelers win a Super Bowl, or you be a part of the front office that wins the championship next season?
Oh, I got to take myself being part of the front office and winning the championship. As much as look, I've seen the Steelers win six titles, and as much as I want them to win a seventh, I would love to have that one experience one more time as a front office executive to win a championship. So, no, to answer the question, it would be
And
me winning the
I
championship.
would say this about Scott. I would love to see Scott, because he's done that before. I would love to see Scott actually have an opportunity to build and challenge for a championship. Winning a championship requires a lot of things.
No
I
question.
would love
No
to see
question.
Scott have the opportunity at this stage of his career, with the wisdom and knowledge and experience that he has, to have an opportunity in today's game to build it and see it all the way through.
Johnson.
Now, I want to see him because, listen, without a lot of times as an executive, that's part of the business, you start something and you don't get a chance to
Just to
finish it.
finish, no question.
Okay. You may get drafted as a player, you get as an executive. Circumstances may say such and such. I would love to see Scott have an opportunity to finish it all the way through. Okay. And as you know, nothing's guaranteed in this league. But to me, that would be the greatest, most fulfilling thing, because Scott has acquired all of this wisdom over the years. For instance, when he first came to Detroit, I just happened to have followed his entire career from day one. And then he went on and he went to, was it Seattle, Scott? Was it
Yeah,
Seattle?
Seattle. Yes, he went to
Seattle,
Seattle with Sam
yeah,
Presti was there.
before they, OKC. And then he went to Orlando when you lose a Dwight Howard. and then you gotta rebuild it and it's do from scratch. And then he goes to the Knicks, and every opportunity faces challenges, and you got to get the books right and draft right and all of those things.
Yes.
So I would love for Scott to say,
which team would, if you was to send Scott Perry off to any of the teams in the NBA right now and you had your pick, which team would you put him in?
You know, normally you got to find a fit, you know, that fits, you know, your personality. Okay. Scott's personality is Scott. First and foremost, I can say this. He's going to draft toughness. He's not going to get a guy and then make him tough. He's going to draft. That's one thing.
That doesn't work too well when you try to do it that way. Yeah. Like you said.
You know, well, he's going to come into our culture and all of a sudden. No, Scott is going to draft toughness. Now, that I know. Okay. Mm-hmm. What city? I would think at this stage of Scott's career, Scott has an idea of how he wants to play. Scott already has an idea of the type of athletes he wants. And Scott has an idea now, I think, where he is very aware of the group that's necessary, that everyone has the same collective thought, right? I don't really think it. I don't think it really matters where he would be right now.
But earlier
I would have said East Coast, because Scott's personality is more, you know, I can see him in a, you know, blue collar kind of like Detroit. I thought if given an opportunity for a place like a Detroit, that would have been a great. However, at this stage, I think Scott just needs the ownership group.
Yeah.
That's who has a plan and be able to see it all the way through. I think that's where you get to that point in your career. So I think someone is going to give Scott, this young man, an opportunity to carry it out, not with the idea of that we're going to deliver a championship, but the idea that you're going to compete.
I want to see Scott in Portland. Because I know Chauncey can coach. I just feel like the right roster hasn't been put in place to make that happen.
Well, you know, that's tough. We want to make sure that
we're bringing back the Detroit connection from that 04 team.
Well, here's the thing. We want to make sure we have to abide by the principle of we don't talk about jobs when people are currently there. And that's what I'm saying. You know, we have to say the following, right? Because we want to make sure that we acknowledge what it is. If Scott has an opportunity, he will be, and I'm not just saying it because he's here, he will be the best. Not one of the best. He will be the best. Because now of his ability to watch the games and watch the league, not from the perspective of just his team and what his team needs. So, you know, is this your first time, Scott, for 2 years, right? In the last, 25 or 30 years that you've been able to do this, right?
Last 36 years. This is my first time out. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, so, my whole professional career. Yeah, no question. And the big thing is, and you touched on it, it doesn't matter location. It's really all about the people that are there, and you're talking about ownership groups where it starts with where vision and the ability to be able to come in and work your plan, develop your plan, and see your plan all the way through. That's the most important thing. So willing and ready, and have the faith that will happen, and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that would put together a team that is highly competitive.
Yeah, that's
it.
It's
going to be and singly focused on getting better each and every year, and a team that ownership and the fan base will be very proud of.
And the community. And then Mo's going to have to change his team, you know? And Mo's going to jump ship.
Yeah.
If the check is right,
Like, yeah. You make
No, I'm joking. I can never change my team, but
yeah, you will. You'll do it.
I want to see what happens if Scott becomes in charge of a team and they start shooting a lot of threes. I want to see what BJ has to say about that on the podcast.
Oh no, it's not. That's not a podcast. That's a phone call. That's not a
exactly.
Podcast.
Exactly.
That's not a no. The podcasting is only, you know, that's just commentary.
I was watching the Celtics and Pelicans last night, right? The Celtics started like 0 from 7 from three and they're down by double digits to the Pelicans.
Right.
I put my phone on do not disturb mode because I was like, there's no way I want BJ to ring me right now.
Nah, exactly.
I know what he's going to say. I have to put it on do not disturb. I know what he's going to tell me. And then luckily they managed to pull away with a win there, but It was a one point win, right?
Yeah,
it should have been done, but there was like a 5 second violation on an inbounds, and yeah, it was a little, it's been a rough stretch for the Celtics. I think they're like 6-7 over the last however many games. It's been
your Celtics just have to get to the playoffs healthy.
Yeah,
then they will know the task at hand once they get back to the playoffs, and whether it's home or on the road, they understand what is required to go the full distance. So I wouldn't panic too much right now.
I'm not panicking. I'm dead. I'm chill. I ain't stressing out. You know what I mean? We here. It's all good. We're going to be back for another week of the Hoop Genius podcast. Scott, we appreciate as always for joining us. And, you know, we got to make sure that we really look forward to this
every Monday. It's a blast.
Oh, for real.
And
for
it's
real,
nothing but like talking just real basketball with real basketball people. Like you said, you know, we got the 3-time NBA champion on here who has tons of wisdom. And I, you know, watched him grow over the years. And then Mo, getting to know you over these last couple years and your take and wisdom for the game. You truly do watch a lot of basketball and love conversing, you know, going back and forth with you about the game.
Hell yeah. We appreciate you.
Hey, mm-hmm. Mo, before we, you know, exit.
Oh, no.
I had a real question, though. I was like,
okay,
you think Scott would really come on with this if once he becomes GM again? You think
I was just about to say, we got to appreciate these shows because if you know, when he gets another GM job, he's still going to be on the show.
Well, hey, I mean,
I can.
He's got to come on with us. He can't give us the slip on, can he?
Come on. I'll say it to you right now. I will be on here as much as you need me to be on.
Oh, that's all I want. Mo, make sure you're part of the package.
We just want to make sure we're part of the package. No, I'm not that sometimey individual. You guys know that. BJ knows that. So no, this is
from the NBA Finals. Mo, you heard it now, from the NBA Finals, on the Hoop Genius podcast.
We ready.
You know the vibes. Hey, Mo, we ready. Mo, can you see this? Listen to this, Mo. We're gonna go into the game, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how in the first game of the playoffs, you know, the teams will put out T-shirts and they have a little slogan, right? You know,
every T-shirt in the arena.
You know the vibes.
Exactly. All right, Scotty, you got to get us there. You got to get us to the finals. I can see it already, man. Appreciate you guys. Make sure if you're listening, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And have a great week. And I fear that this will be the final week of normalcy before BJ's Detroit Lions get underway in the NFL playoffs. I don't know.
That's next Sunday, after next weekend.
Yeah. I don't know if BJ's even going to be around to do the podcast. If he's just going to be out, you know, going crazy.
Oh, I'm going to do the podcast live from New Orleans. I already got that set up.
The Lions play the Commanders next Sunday.
Yeah. Hey.
3:00.
Hey. Who is Magic going to be rooting for? Irving, if you're listening. No, we know you're listening.
Is it
Irving? No, you're from Michigan.
Yeah.
But wait, so he owns the Commanders, or what's the deal?
He's part owner.
Now, okay. I want to know how Irvin Johnson is going to walk into Ford Field rooting for the opposing team. Irvin?
You know, it's serious. He's using his government name. He didn't say magic.
It's serious.
Yeah. Irvin's got to make this decision.
Irvin's got to make this decision. Not magic. Now, magic, we know what magic will do. But Irvin, now, you don't want to come into Ford Field. You know, this is serious stuff here. This is serious. So,
great week.
That was a great win, by the way, against the Buccaneers.
Oh man, yeah, no. That young quarterback,
Jay. Ooh, now he can play. He can play.
He's the real deal, man. He is really good. They're gonna be in the playoffs for years to come.
Yes.
So we talked about the OKC being around for a while. The Commanders are gonna be around for a while. When you got a quarterback like this who's lifted a team that I think only won four games last year.
That was big time effort. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's time now. It's time.
Oh yeah, hey, hey,
rest. Is it time for an NFL spin-off show next season?
If the Lions win the championship, it may be Mo.
I'm worried because I ain't never seen BJ drink in his life. I never seen BJ smoke. If the Lions win though, I don't know if BJ's gonna go off the rails. I don't know what's gonna happen. Every time I see BJ, he's
I'm gonna do what all champions
sensible
do:
sensible cigar and champagne.
See, everyone wants to look forward to the celebration. Mm-hmm. Mo, I look forward to competing every year for the championships. I'm addicted to that. That's my addiction. Oh, we got one? Guess what?
Going for two.
I'm going for two.
Just make sure you get number one first.
No, I can tell you this. We know the assignment. Getting to the playoffs wasn't the assignment.
Oh, no question. No.
Yeah,
you were one game away from Super Bowl last year.
Yes.
And then who beat you in that game?
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Is that the Taylor
Swift? We were one half away.
Because the Lions were leading at the half last year.
Mm-hmm. So we know the assignment.
San Francisco aren't here this year then?
No, San Francisco didn't even make the playoffs this year. They had a lot of injuries.
Oh, they fell off.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, we know the assignment. We got our assignment. We didn't come here to get to the playoffs. We didn't come here for we came here for one thing. I see y'all down in New Orleans. If y'all don't know what the assignment is, we got our assignment. We didn't come here. Scott knows that type of pressure. You didn't come here to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Absolutely.
We're going to see.
And I hope for your sake that your Lions win. I hope for your sake that they do. But the podcast is going to keep rolling regardless.
Right.
just know if they lose, you can't call in sick to the podcast. You know what I mean? Can't tell me I'm not in the mood. Scott showed up today. His team lost. Just know.
Now, it's one thing. See, Scott is from Detroit. Now, he roots for the Steelers, but he's from Detroit. That's one thing about anybody from Detroit. We're going to show up now. we can't promise we're going to have a great performance.
I know. We watched the Pistons last year.
Our Pistons are, what, they're in 10th place or something right now?
No, they're better.
Peter, your Pistons are in 8th.
Pistons in 8th.
They're above 500.
Yeah, they're 20-19.
Yeah, man, that's wow. Like, that's great.
Midway point, game over 500.
Okay. All right,
BJ and I will be back tomorrow. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.